With BookBeats, I'm Don Swaim. The diary of H.L. Mencken is out some 34 years after his death, and even the book's editor, Charles Fetcher, wasn't prepared for the reaction.
I figured it was going to be a controversial book because H.L. Mencken never wrote a book that wasn't. But I was totally unprepared for the firestorm that erupted.
H.L. Mencken's passing references to Jews can only be described as insulting, his comments about blacks patronizing, and his depictions of white Anglo-Saxons as vicious. Fetcher says the critics have been quick to take the great journalist to task.
Most of this centered around the charges of anti-Semitism, racism, pro-Germanism during World War II, and the unkind things that he said about people who were supposed to be his friends.
Fetcher notes that in Mencken's day, restricted neighborhoods and facilities that tended to separate Jews from non-Jews were common.
This must be classified as anti-Semitism, but it was not the kind of insane thing that developed in Nazi Germany. This was the anti-Semitism that I think Mencken absorbed all unconsciously throughout his life.
Ironically, H.L. Mencken was a leader in the battle against ignorance and prejudice.
You would have thought that he, who rose above so many of the common prejudices and stereotypes of his day, would have risen above this one too. But he didn't.
Charles Fetcher, editor of The Diary of H.L. Mencken, published by Knopf. Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeats, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeats, I'm Don Swaim. A great controversy has accompanied the publication of The Diary of H.L. Mencken, for in it, Mencken appears to reveal himself as a bigot. Who was H.L. Mencken? The editor of the diary, Charles Fetcher, notes that Mencken was the most powerful and influential literary critic in the first half of the 20th century.
Mencken hammered away mercilessly at the so-called genteel tradition, which had characterized American literature in the latter part of the 19th and the early part of the 20th century. While he was attacking this, he was also encouraging and beating the drum for a whole new generation of writers, men like Theodore Dreiser, Sinclair Lewis, Sherwood Anderson, Scott Fitzgerald, and so on, who were bringing a completely new tone and treatment to American literature.
H.L. Mencken was also the most prominent journalist of his time, and in hundreds of articles and editorials in the Baltimore Sun and the American Mercury, attacked almost every politician alive.
He said that a good politician is as unthinkable as an honest burglar. He dismissed all of them as frauds, quacks, and charlatans.
It was the sheer force of his style that commanded attention.
Powerful and pungent, filled with the most incredible similes and metaphors, and a vocabulary that must be one of the largest in the English language.
And Mencken was indeed an expert on language. His books tracing the development of the American language remain classics. Despite the hubbub over the Mencken diary, Charles Fetcher is sure that Mencken's reputation will survive. Knopf published The Diary of H.L. Mencken. Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeats, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeats, I'm Don Swaim. In 1925, in Dayton, Tennessee, high school teacher John Thomas Scopes was prosecuted for teaching evolution. The celebrated monkey trial brought together religion and science as opposing forces. Covering the trial for the Baltimore Evening Sun was the most famous journalist of his time, H.L. Mencken.
The stories that he wrote about it are classics of journalism, which, as I'm sure you know, is not a field that normally produces enduring classics.
That's Charles Fetcher, editor of The Diary of H.L. Mencken. In 1926, Mencken, who also edited the American Mercury, published a short story about a prostitute. A man named Chase, who headed the Watch and Ward Society, moved to have the magazine banned in Boston.
When Mencken heard of this, he went up to Boston, sold a copy of the magazine to Chase on Boston Common, and was arrested.
The judge threw out the case, but then the post office got into the act.
The issue was barred from the mails, which was a rather moot point since it had already been mailed out anyway.
But Mencken's tenacity helped to win the battle against government censorship. Charles Fetcher says Mencken's most enduring work may be his book, The American Language.
He traced with amazing scholarship the development of English from the time the first colonists arrived here down to his own time.
In his day, H.L. Mencken was an outspoken opponent of prejudice and ignorance, so it's somewhat disconcerting to find some of his own bigotry in The Diary of H.L. Mencken, newly published by Knopf. Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. H.L. Mencken began a diary in 1930 when he was 50 years old. The diary was given to Baltimore's Enoch Pratt Free Library with the stipulation that it not be opened until 25 years after Mencken's death.
He assumed that everybody mentioned in it would be dead by that time. As it turned out, he was wrong.
Charles Fetcher, editor of the Mencken Diary.
One of the library's maintenance men came in with a saw, as I recall, and sawed away at these boxes and pulled them open. And there the materials were, bound in handsome Morocco covers.
Fetcher says there is a question whether Mencken ever intended the diary to be published.
It was given to the library in five sealed wooden boxes, and each of those boxes contained a label saying, first of all, that it could not be opened until 25 years after his death, and then it was to be made accessible only to serious scholars engaged in research.
Three of Mencken's best-known books, his Days trilogy, are memoirs. Fetcher says there are still additional Mencken memoirs in the library.
There are seven boxes still in the Pratt Library vault, four boxes called My Life as Author and Editor, and three boxes called 35 Years of Newspaper Work.
Those memoirs cannot be opened until next year, 35 years after Mencken's death.
Now, what's in those is anybody's guess. He discusses them here and there in the diary, and obviously they run to thousands of pages.
The Mencken Diary is fascinating, not only for Mencken's encounters with the literary great, but for its depiction of Mencken's everyday life and occasionally bigoted attitudes. Published by Knopf. Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Baltimore calls itself the city that reads. It has a great literary tradition and associations with such names as Poe, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Dashiell Hammett. But Baltimore may be most proud of H.L. Mencken, whose Holland Street home has been lovingly restored. Charles Fetcher is a Mencken expert, an editor of a scholarly journal devoted to Mencken. Fetcher edited the newly published Diary of H.L. Mencken, which he says was mainly a task of selection rather than actual text editing.
Here and there he might have made a typing error, or left a word out or something like that, and since it was obvious what the word was supposed to be, I inserted it in brackets. But, you know, I did no editing on his writing at all.
The diary exposes Mencken's darker side, his uneven attitude toward other races and religions. But Charles Fetcher says vulgar characterizations toward others were more common in Mencken's day.
Black people were niggers, Jews were kikes, Italians were wops and dagos, Polish people were Polacks. These are terms that have almost disappeared from our vocabulary. Thank heaven. But they were common enough in that day. Well, I agree with you, it is hard to imagine Mencken saying something like that, but...
But he did, yes.
Mencken's mild bigotry makes up only a tiny part of the diary, and I suggested to Charles Fetcher that once the dust settles, Mencken's image as a foe of ignorance will survive.
I agree with you that his reputation is not going to be permanently damaged or tarnished.
The Diary of H.L. Mencken is a fascinating glimpse of America's most influential literary critic and most powerful journalist of the first half of the century. Published by Knopf. Don Swaim, News 88. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.